Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Crew Travel right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I am your host, and I'm pleased to welcome back Lee Harris from Blue Marine Travel. How are you, Lee?
Yeah, very good. Thanks, Rhea. How about yourself today?
Great, great. Been a busy week, but you know what? It's been an extremely busy week in travel and lockdowns and all sorts of other things happening around the world again. So it looks like, you know, when last week or the last few weeks that we've been talking, it was getting a bit boring. It was like, are we sure that we want to continue doing crew travel updates? Because there's not much to talk about. But, you know, I guess we should have knocked on wood because that definitely has changed.
Yeah, unfortunately so, isn't it? It's, sad times, unfortunately, for Europe especially. They seem to have got hit hard once more. And we've seen with France and Germany gone into lockdown at the end part of this week. And obviously the UK just announced as well this last few hours ago. So, it's all changed once more.
Well, how does that look for France right now? I mean, I know that they're going to be needing all sorts of forms and paperwork, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, I'm not sure if it's just the Latin countries that are really good with wanting paper for everything that you do, or is it the world in general? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess really the first thing that we really need to say is that even though France and Germany are both in lockdown, at this moment in time, it's not going to affect your crew. They're still classed as essential workers. They can enter the country. They can move about the country. Obviously, the processes are going to change slightly, which we can talk about now. But the main point is that they can actually still enter the country to join yachts and to leave as well. I've been actually speaking to the wonderful Sarah Futasar at Yachting Partners International this week, who are based in Monaco. If anybody's not been following Sarah on LinkedIn, I would highly recommend her because she's doing an excellent job keeping people up to date with regards to crew travel and yacht crew and yachts based in France at this moment in time. What we've talked about and what she said to me is if there are any crew who are wary at this time with regards to travel, basically what they're going to need to do is the following. They'll need to have all their necessary forms on them in person. That would be the employer form and the international travel form. Both of these forms will be on the link to this radio show, so people can get them off there if they need them. They'll need to have their employment contract in hand with them also, not an electronic copy. They'll need to have it printed out so they've got it in on them. A letter from the captain. This will need to be in the local language, in French and in English as well, and it needs to explain the reason for travel. Obviously, they'll need to have a yacht agent on hand. So, for example, Sarah at YPI. This is if they have any issues whilst they're traveling with the police or the gendarmerie or whoever, then obviously they can put a call in to Sarah, whoever their agent is locally, and she can talk through because it has happened before. We have seen some crew stopped by the police wondering why they're traveling between regions. So it's vitally important they have their yacht agent telephone number on them. They'll also need to have their seaman's book on them if possible. And obviously, if they travel on a marine ticket instead of a published ticket, this is vitally important as well, obviously, because it shows they're going for work, not for tourism reasons. They've got a seaman ticket. It shows they're going for work. So, again, that's vitally important. We would highly recommend people travel on marine tickets at this time. Provided they have all of that information, they really shouldn't have any issues when traveling in France or in Germany.
So is there any need to have the paperwork for your genetic history from the year 2000 AD? You know what I mean? It sounds like the amount of paperwork is just absolutely insane. I mean, it's almost like you should just bring the captain along with you and have him by your side, you know, and Sarah. And
it would be so much easier if you could just have all of them in one car, the captain and your agent, i.e. Sarah or somebody. Perfect. You're going to have no issues whatsoever.
The thing is, though, how many people are you allowed in the car at the same time? Because you got to be careful of that as well, right? So you could be crossing some line there, invisible line there too.
You could be. I mean, obviously, it is a lot more laborious again. Unfortunately, it sort of seems to be my go-to word with regards to anything COVID-related and travel. Everything seems laborious, but it is. But it's essential, unfortunately. So you don't want to get caught up at the airports. You don't want to get caught up as you get out of the airport with regards to traveling between regions. So as long as you've got all this paperwork, I know it's a lot more hassle, but it is imperative that you have it. If you have that information, then you should be okay.
So if they book through someone like you, and they're working with a good agent, more than likely, you'll make sure that they have all that, or the agent will make sure they have every bit of paperwork they need prior to heading out.
Indeed, yeah. Between ourselves and whatever the yacht, the yacht agent, the yachts have got with them, then yeah, we'll make sure that they have all their paperwork in hand and ready for them to travel.
So definitely makes sense to go through somebody other than the internet.
Yeah, unless the internet is to give out the relevant forms and stuff, I would definitely. I'm not just saying Bloomarine because I work for them. I say this all the time, but I'm not saying that people have to book through Bloomarine. But a marine travel agency at this time, I would say, is vital.
Yeah, for sure. So that's France. Is there any special paperwork for Germany? What's going on in Germany at the moment?
Germany, we're still trying to nail down exactly what they need. At this moment in time, we haven't got any specifics with regards to letters that are needed. Obviously, as soon as I find out any more information, I'll put it on LinkedIn. I'll also let you know, Ria, so that you can attach it to any of the crew travel updates.
Nice. Now, United Airlines. FLIBS is happening right now, but I'm
Yeah.
not sure. I know that a lot of people were heading over for the weekend, et cetera, but I've seen some pictures and it's not, I mean, it really is pale in comparison to previous years, which we did expect, but it's even more pale than the pale we did expect as far as numbers, if that makes any sense.
I've seen some of the again some of the videos and the photos on social media, and it's definitely a watered down version, so to speak, which is a shame, but it's it is the reality we're in at the moment. And hopefully it's a success for the people that are there and the people who are showcasing stuff. We want it to be a success. It's good for the industry, but like you say, it's definitely a lot different to previous years.
Well, United Airlines, of course, is one of the major airlines in the US. What are they up to at the moment then with that?
Yeah, so United Airlines today, they've announced the world's first free transatlantic COVID-19 testing pilot program for customers, which is great news. From November the 16th through to December the 11th, the airline will offer rapid tests to every passenger over 2 years old and also all crew members on board select flights from Newark International Airport to London Heathrow. And these will all be free of charge as well, which is great news. Anyone who does not wish to be tested will be placed on another flight, guaranteeing everyone on board, other than the children under two, would have tested positive before departure. What United will do, they'll share the customer feedback for the pilot with governments on both sides of the Atlantic to further demonstrate the effectiveness of these programs as an alternative to mandatory quarantine or the duplicate travel restrictions. United has seen a positive impact on travel demand and significant increase in customer load factors and revenue when testing options are available. Now, United will collaborate with Premise Health, who will administer the rapid testing pilot program on the flight, and a test will be given to passengers traveling once they get to the airport, and the results should be back within 20 minutes.
That is definitely a step forward. And you and I have had this conversation right back. I mean, even 4 months ago, we were having that conversation. Before they get on a flight, they should be tested, not after they're stuck in the airplane and then, the disembarking process, and then get tested. That's absolutely ridiculous. Before they get on that flight, if they test, positive, then obviously they can't go there. They're not going to spread that. We know that boarding the flight and getting off the flight, that is the most chance that they have of passing this, because we do know that on an airplane, the likelihood of catching COVID, with all the things that they have in place and the air filtration systems, et cetera, it's less likely for you to get that than living in the same home with someone. So the idea that they've got this test for 20 minutes and there you go, Bob's your uncle and off you go, and you know that you don't have to quarantine on the other end, and knowing the hit the airline industry has taken, this only makes sense. And if they can buy it in bulk and it costs them, pennies on the dollar, why wouldn't they, in order to make sure their planes are full and they're back at almost, 100% capacity?
Exactly right. It makes perfect sense, doesn't it? To me, it makes sense for everybody. It makes sense for governments. It makes sense for the public.
Yeah.
It makes sense, especially for the airlines as well. Because, like you say, if they can do it for free of charge, I mean, at this moment in time, we're talking airlines are what, 30, 40% capacity at of what they were previous. So if they can get this out and we can see those numbers start to rise up to 70, 80, 90%, then surely that's a win for everybody. And it seems that United are obviously the first airline that are making the right steps to do this, you know, and they're guaranteeing a COVID-free flight, which, as far as I'm aware, they're the first airline that can say that. Then, you know, that's hopefully, fingers crossed, that means that the other airlines are going to follow suit.
Well, it just makes sense. We've all got to take, you know, small hits. Everyone is straight across the board. The airlines were taking a massive hit. So in the long run, it makes more sense for them to take that small hit to ensure that air travel is safe and air travel can get back to, you know, accommodating those that work internationally and need air travel in order to get to and where they're going.
Well, that's right. I mean, it's the world we live in, isn't it? I mean, we've said this before, yeah. You know, the world, travel, obviously we're talking prior COVID here, but you know, travel was easy. You know, it was a nice straightforward process. You booked your ticket, you're 2 hours at the airport, out the other side and off you go. You know, so we need to try, you know, we're not going to get back to that, not for a long time anyway, you know, a simple process. But if we can get airlines doing this where they're testing people and you're getting results back in 20 minutes, even if it's an hour or an hour and a half that you're getting your results back, okay, it may put 2 hours on your extra check-in time, but surely that's got to be better than, you know, than 14 days in quarantine one side or 7 days quarantine the other side, or then having to have it when you come back again. So hopefully it's baby steps in the right direction, you know, and we can see this sort of program rolled out right across aviation completely.
Brilliant. Well, that is good news for sure. Now, something that we were absolutely prior to the words COVID, which is almost a swear word now, the world was just as sick and tired of hearing about Brexit. But sorry to ruin everyone's Monday, but Brexit is on the cusp of happening and there aren't any agreements in place. We're not here to be political about it all, but the fact is there is going to be an impact on air travel between Europe and Britain. So what's going to be happening there? What changes will crew expect to have? It's not just going to be as simple as hopping on a plane before and jumping off at the other end. It's not going to, you know, even with the COVID, it's going to extend it even further, isn't it?
It is indeed. Yeah, unfortunately. So, yeah, I mean, Brexit is, I guess, the one good thing you could say about COVID is it made people forget about Brexit for a while. yeah, British crew, unfortunately, from December the 31st, there are going to be some changes for them. Firstly, Europe are putting in place a system similar to the US's ESTA, you know, the visa waiver program. ESTA, you had to get an ESTA online before you could travel. Europe are heading in the same way. It comes from January the 1st next year. They have got a grace period again. It's quite a long grace period of about a year, I believe. But we would recommend, obviously, that crew start getting this European ESTA. I think it's called NITIAS, that Europe are going to call it anyway. From what we know at this moment in time, it's going to cost around about €7. But British crew won't be able to go into Europe without it. It is going to be mandatory. And not only that, also, obviously, the British crew at this moment in time have the luxury of going through the European e-gates when they get to the other side into Europe. Unfortunately, from January the 1st, that is now also going to change as well. They'll have to join the third country nationals. This basically means even with your biometric passport, the quick time that you were finding yourself going through the airport and you look into your right or look into your left and you're seeing the big queues of everybody else, unfortunately for British crew, they're going to be having to join those queues. So that's probably, they're going to be looking at around about an hour and a half extra they're going to be spending at the European side once they get there. And that's all the joys of Brexit, I'm afraid.
Well, you know, as a Canadian citizen and traveling to Europe and back and forth, I can tell you, the jealousy that you feel after a long haul flight, and I mean, at least England, it's only a couple of hours, but coming from a place like Canada or returning to Canada, looking over at the other lineup and just wishing after a long journey like that you actually had a, you know, EU passport so you could pass right through. But it does definitely add, at least, I mean, at the very least, an hour. Depends on what time your flight comes in. It could actually be 2.5 to 3 hours if it's a busy traffic time.
Yeah, it is. You know, it is. I can't stress enough, it is going to significantly delay, you know, crew, because we've had it easy. You know, us Brits have had it easy traveling through Europe. You know, it's been nice and straightforward. Like I say, you see your e-gate, free you go, and you're on your way. and unfortunately, this is going to be one of the issues after Brexit, unfortunately.
I think one of the miscommunications or the ideas that I'm not sure if it's the politicians or the British people as a whole, but they thought they would just continue to live exactly the way they always lived. They would just be not part of the European Union. They didn't, even the politicians didn't take it that step further and said, if you vote Brexit, you are going to have this problem, these things are going to change. And nobody really thought about all of the things that were going to change in the process of Brexit. It was like, oh, it's going to be great. You know, here's dancing fairies, a couple of unicorns, and some pretty gold dust. Bob's your uncle, go on. In reality, yeah. there's no unicorns, there's no dancing fairies, and there's no gold dust.
Now, I think reality is now starting to hit for some people. You know, like you say, we're not political. You know, people have got their own opinions of Brexit, and that's entirely up to them. But I don't think, maybe people weren't given the full picture with regards to what it would mean for them personally. You know, especially like we say, for crew or for whatever industry you're in. You know. Maybe a bigger picture needed to be looked at, which possibly may not have happened.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're right. Everybody has a right to their own opinion and a right to vote the way they vote. But, you know, I think a lot of people did assume that they would just be able to continue. They wanted to move to Spain or France. It would be the same as it always was. If they wanted to travel, it would be the same as they always. But we as human beings, we tend to be that way, right? We think, oh, well, we're going to make this decision. We don't actually think of the implications long term. We just kind of make our decision and just hope for the best, I guess, or just think it's going to stay the same.
I think you've just actually described me there, Rhea. that's my general outlook on life.
Pretty much mine, too. Did you get any crew questions this week?
Yeah, we did. We've received, actually, it's a couple of things with regards to the same thing. So it's with regards to Sri Lankan crew trying to head back home at the end of their contracts and the struggles they've been facing trying to get the flights. Now, Sri Lankan airspace is still currently closed. It is only open for repatriation flights. Now, we at Blue Marine Travel have done some digging, and it is possible to get Sri Lankan nationals home. And we've managed to get a couple this week, actually, although the process is not straightforward and it is not easy, I've got to say. What we have to do, or whoever's doing it, you have to request and receive two separate authorizations to travel from the relevant Sri Lankan authorities. Now, we at Blue Marine Travel, we know who to speak to. We can get them on your behalf if you need them, because it is a real struggle, I've got to say. Once we receive these back, usually within 5 business days, we can then go to the relevant airlines who are flying in and who have the authority to do the repatriation flights. Because again, there are airlines out there, and I've seen them on the internet, selling flights into Sri Lanka, and they don't have the proper approvals to enter. So what I would say to people again is, be extremely careful what you're booking on the internet.
Well, you know what, it's not just Sri Lanka, is it? There's a lot of other countries too that seem to be selling flights that don't exist well, or don't have the right verification.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, it's been the case all through COVID. You know, this last 8 months, we've seen like we call them the phantom flights, as such, which are being sold and they're not operating. It is difficult, because we even still see some in our systems as well. I mean, I'm not gonna lie and say that it doesn't happen. You know, we do see these phantom flights in there, and you have to be extremely careful when you're booking. But especially on, you know, if you're booking on the internet, you've not got anybody to talk to. You know, you can't. Any queries or qualms you've got, you can't discuss them with anybody. You've got to be extremely, extremely careful.
Well, we're going to provide all the links that you may need underneath this interview. In the case of France, that's for sure. One random question that I wanted to ask you before I let you go, Lee. What do you think of the airline? I'm not sure which country it is in. I think it's Australia, actually. But the airline that goes nowhere, just for people that want to book a flight that just sort of goes around in the sky and comes back. Yes. They're also doing that with cruise ships now as well. What do you think of that?
It baffles me a little bit, I've got to say. I understand that airlines have been severely hit. They need to make money. I get that. I didn't realise there was a market, if I'm being totally honest, in scenic flights. I mean, you got to be slightly sadomasochistic, I think. You know, I'm happy that I get on a flight and I get to my destination. That's it. I'm the part when I'm up there. If I'm watching a film, I'm happier if I've got a drink in my hand. But the actual experience itself is, it baffles me. I didn't realize there was a market, that's for sure.
But it's, I guess there is. I mean, I've always noticed there was a market, but it was more a market for like helicopters. If you wanted to see the top of a certain mountaintop, or you wanted to go heli skiing, or you wanted to, explore places that you've never seen before. You hire a for New York, for example, people will hire helicopters just to see, New York from above. And that's something, right? But just to hop on an airplane and fly, I don't know how many 30,000 feet in the sky that you can't see anything but clouds.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been my point. I can understand it. Like you say, from a helicopter and you're seeing the skyline and everything else, then makes perfect sense. 33,000 feet up in the air looking down at clouds. Well, I've got to say, it's not for me. I mean, I could find better ways to spend 4 or 5 hours, I've got to say.
Yeah, well, and I'm not even sure what the price is, but I'm sure you could probably spend that money on, I don't know, anything really. I mean, a bus trip into town and a nice fancy dinner and a night out or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it's funny how these airlines are trying to find new ways of making money. And I've seen that Singapore Airlines now as well. They're now getting their big Boeings and they're turning them into restaurants as well, so people can go and have a sit down meal on board this aircraft and then come off and so basically turned it into a restaurant. So I guess it's good that they're thinking outside the box. They're trying to keep the revenue streams coming in. So it's interesting to see these new ideas pop up.
Do you know what? I think that's great though, because at the end of the day, we have come so far in such a short period of time. As far as people say, there's no new ideas left anymore because they've pretty much everything has already been thought of. But when something like this happens, people have to start thinking outside the box and creating new streams of revenue, as it were. And if you've got to turn a 747 or a 737 into a restaurant, well, I guess you've got to turn it into a restaurant.
Yeah. It's funny as well, because I think actually in these restaurants, they're still serving the in-flight food. So, I mean, it's funny because, it's not for me. I mean, I'll eat it, obviously, because you're up in the air for so long. My wife absolutely loves it. I mean, if she could go out and bulk buy it, she would. So, I mean, this is right up our street. But I can
tell you what, I have a feeling, Lee, that part of the reason that she loves it is because she hates cooking.
It probably is. I do all the cooking, Ria. Come on.
Well, maybe she just hates your cooking.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, I hate my cooking.
She'd rather it come packaged in a box.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. It's like that astronaut food.
Remind me if I ever get the chance to meet New Zealand, to come to New Zealand, not to agree to have dinner at yours.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it. It's not a great restaurant.
I'll be heading to the nearest 737 restaurant that's just popped up. Me and your wife.
Yeah, go for it.
Right, Lee. Thank you ever so much again for your time. It's greatly appreciated.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. Thank you ever so much.
You've been watching another edition of Crew Travel right here on Yachting International Radio. Our thanks goes out to Lee Harris from Bloom and Marine Travel. And as I say every single week, if you are interested and want to keep up to date what is going on in the world today in the travel industry, sign on to his LinkedIn. We'll provide that link underneath this interview when it airs, because we know Lee loves to see a bunch of people pop up in his inbox as wanting to connect. and do tune in again next week for another edition of Crew Travel. My name is Ria. I have been your host. We'll see you again soon.